Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The Talkers Heavy 100 list came out today, and it's got to be a real task putting this list together.
Yes.
It's been pushed back year after year. It used to come out in February. Like every year they push it back. So it's more like every 14 or 15 months.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, still, it's a great list, and the folks over at Talkers Magazine have included us on it for several years, seven, eight years, something like that now, quite a few years. And we've moved up, where do we start, 97, I think?
I think we started at number 98, I think.
98, yeah, and then, you know, slowly moving down the list down to number 29, as you pointed out here, so in the top 30. And that's not based on any, like, metrics, necessarily.
It's based on some metrics. So they... they do take metrics like listenership.
They take that into account.
What they consider it, though, is they use the terminology important for a reason.
The 100 most important talk shows or talk show hosts in America.
Right, and they list Ian and I on it. But they take a bunch of different things, like, are you doing something groundbreaking? Is your show unique? You know, those kind of things. Alex Jones jumped on this list this year. He's up to number 26.
We used to be ahead of him, right?
Yeah, we were ahead. And, you know, we have more radio stations than Alex has.
Right.
But Alex has a huge internet following. Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's arguable that he had some role in getting a president elected this year.
I think you could argue that he certainly had an influence on that. It's Bitcoin Pizza Day today, which is apparently back in 2010, somebody bought two pizzas from another Bitcoiner. So they didn't buy it from, like,
a pizza place,
Domino's or some pizza place or whatever.
Well, it was Domino's Pizza, as I understand.
Was it Domino's?
I believe it was.
Okay, well, whatever it was, what happened was someone who is a Bitcoiner purchased with, you know, their credit card or whatever the pizza, and then another Bitcoiner paid that person in Bitcoin for the pizzas.
Yes.
And it was 10,000 Bitcoin. Is what two large pizzas cost in 2010. And here we are now in 2017. And
5,000 Bitcoin per pizza, meaning that a Bitcoin was worth, what was that? You know, what?
Few cents. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very little.
It's very little. Now, if you were to spend 10,000 Bitcoins at 2,064, let's see, that is... $20.6 million.
It's a lot of money.
So I hope the person who sold those pizzas held on to that 10,000 Bitcoin, because he or she is doing very, very well today, if that's the case.
Daryl W. Perry, our illustrious remote producer, says they were made by Papa John's.
Papa John's pizzas. But again, they didn't get a cut of it, so too bad for Papa John's. How much Jewishness does somebody have to have in their blood in order to count as, was it an international Jew or
whatever? I mean, I'm just
or just when, Jewry?
When one separates people based on genetics, it gets...
Under the Nuremberg laws in Germany in 1935 that were passed in September 1935, Adolf Hitler said in the Nazi party that if you had a Jewish, if you were Jewish on your mother's side, you were Jewish, but if you were Jewish on your father's side, you were you were a Christian. So, and they even said that Hitler himself had a Jewish grandparent, a Jewish grandmother, that is. So, that did not stop him for the great things that he did in the world.
And, that's a sick thing to say.
What are those great things that you're referring to?
But what are those great things?
Yeah.
He changed the world history for the better.
So you deny that the gas chambers and, you know, ovens and all of that, you deny that those, you know, those physical things that have been proven in reality to exist, you deny that those were used or that those exist or what?
Let me answer this.
You deny the stories from the guards? Because it's not just...
It was Poles, Russians,
Blacks,
Slavs.
Yep.
Homosexuals, you
Jehovah's
would think
Witnesses
that the Jews
were
the only victims.
No. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's true that they targeted a lot of people besides just Jewish people.
Swing dancers, I've heard.
I think it's important to point that out. So you are admitting that there was a massive extermination campaign against more than just Jewish people, against people that Hitler didn't like.
I would say that he used it for the war effort, but to answer your question,
but he wasn't
I'm not
killing
trying to
soldiers.
Back away from it.
He wasn't
per se. Do you ask me a question? Did 6 million Jews die in the Holocaust? No. The number was far less. I would say.
Now, would you have liked to have seen 6 million?
How can I answer? But it certainly was not 6 million. That was a fabricated figure.
Now, would you have liked to have seen more people murdered in the Holocaust?
This is what I would like to see.
Okay.
I would like to see an America that is free of Jewish influence.
The National Blue Alert Network is coming online. With all of the dismal news sucking the air out of the news cycle these days, it's worth taking a moment to note when something good actually happens. Most of you are probably familiar with the Amber Alert systems in place around the nation. This surprisingly effective program rapidly disseminates information about missing and or endangered children in hopes of having the public help locate them before they disappear entirely. And, you know, that doesn't seem like a terrible idea, right? You know, who would be against helping find a missing child? Right? That seems to be a popular idea.
It always kind of concerns me that I get these alerts on my phone. It's
do
like,
you?
You don't?
No, I turn all that crap off.
There's probably a way to turn it off. I just never did it.
How often do they come through?
Oh, like
pretty
once a
rarely.
Month
okay. Oh, I don't. I get them like once a year.
Yeah, just rarely enough that you're like you have no idea what, and it looks so different.
Uh-huh.
Than
it sounds
a text
horrible.
Or something.
It sounds like an air raid.
So now, in addition to the Amber Alert Network, according to Hot Air, this week the Justice Department announced the launch of a similar national initiative designed to identify suspects who attack police officers and rapidly track them down in a similar fashion. Rather than Amber, this one is known as the National Blue Alert Network. From the Justice Department's press release, quote, the Justice Department, along with the FCC and Department of Homeland Security, today announced the nationwide rollout of the National Blue Alert Network, including newly developed deliverables and federal interagency cooperation to enhance the safety and support of America's law enforcement officers.
Okay, so this is not something you could sign up for to, like, possibly offer help to these people.
No, they're going
to
cram this down.
This is an inter-system.
No, they're going to cram this down on you.
Oh, so I'll just get alerts on my phone.
You're
going to
get cop alerts.
I should, like, pull in front of if there's a cop behind me to help him out. Like, that's what's going to happen?
Well, you wouldn't do that, right?
You said it was people targeting, it was alerts of people targeting cops.
Yeah.
So, like, if I get the plate nerve from some guy who's targeting cops, and I happen to be driving in the road, and there's a cop back there, and I, like, deliberately drive behind this guy as to obstruct his plate number.
I thought you were going to pull. I thought you said pull in front of him. I'm sorry. Maybe I misheard you. I thought you were going to pull in front of the guy so the cops would see him. Okay, so
or something like that. Right. Offer assistance in some way.
Yeah. So that's what they're doing is they're putting the alert out to let people know.
This is a horrible plan on their end.
You're saying they want the 5 minutes of fame. You're saying that somebody would want to kill a cop so they could get a blue alert sent about them.
I don't know that anybody's going to kill a cop just to get a blue alert about them.
But that's what you're kind of
suggesting. It's because it's not just for killing cops, but this is just a trophy that I don't think that they want to put on their head. I mean, the system cares less about cops than I do.
Whether it was the killing of the cop, they see here, killed, seriously injured, or pose an imminent threat. So whether it's one of those three, you're saying that there's a certain type of criminal out there who would be elated.
I mean, there's
elated places
where that's going to get you some street cred. That's kind of just the fact of the matter.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Whether I like it or not, that's the case.
So now, in all likelihood, if this occurred somewhere in my immediate vicinity, I'm going to get it on my Minotaur, which is my fire department beeper.
You get the Amber alerts on that, too?
No, I get, I know before you do when something's bad has happened in my town.
Mm-hmm. You can't turn off the presidential alerts, which is another thing. So there's like different categories when you go to you look at the settings. Mm-hmm. So there's like the Amber alerts, there's I don't know whatever weather, I don't remember what they all are, but one of them is presidential alerts, which, you know, it's maybe no one's told Donald Trump about this yet. I mean, given how Donald Trump loves Twitter, right?
I'm surprised he just isn't tweeting the hell out of
We should consider ourselves lucky that we're not getting hammered with Donald Trump tweets throughout the day on our smartphones due to the presidential alert system. But anyway, they are talking about...
I will hire a hacker. Like, I don't even care.
Traffic in Riyadh. Crazy.
And I probably
ridiculous.
Can hire a hacker for that.
If a cop gets shot... And they put out they put out a description of you, Melanie, which of course you wouldn't actually shoot a cop necessarily, unless it was in self-defense, which you might do it then. But if a cop gets shot... and
Well, nobody would believe that. Also, nobody would believe that I wouldn't shoot a cop, at least not without having a chance to think about it. So if that happens, I'm screwed.
Right. And but what I'm saying is if you didn't shoot the cop, but they put out a description of you anyway... I mean, it's going to be hard to survive that just from the cops who find you, because usually when the cops go after somebody who is a wanted cop shooter or an alleged cop shooter, they just go ahead and kill that person on the spot. And then, you know, of course, they're completely justified later on in whatever investigations happen. And so now you're going to have possible vigilantes out there, these blue badge supporters who want to, you know, like want to be cops, but they're not actually cops, but they worship the police. Now they're going to be going out hunting around for these suspects, and that could, you know, increase the danger.
If the person who is kind of in charge of, it's not really security if it's cops, but security type activities is telling you to stand down, then what you need to do is stand down, especially if you're untrained quasi-civilian. But it just seems like a bad idea with no plus sides to them.
The whole thing, the blue alert thing. Yeah, I agree. This is just pure police worship right here. The idea that the police, they're having such a tough time finding these, you know, cop killers or these wanted cop killers. It seems to me like they usually get their man, don't they? Because they put, whether it's the right man or not, they get somebody that they call in for this stuff.
What does it matter? The sun god doesn't care what human sacrifice he gets.
That's what I'm saying. They get somebody to put on the altar here. In any one of these circumstances, because they focus 100% of their police resources on finding that person. So if you want to rob a bank, it's always a good time to do it when they're going after... I'm not suggesting you should rob a bank. That would be a bad thing to do. But if you wanted to commit some sort of crime, the best time to do it is when they're looking for somebody who's off the cop.
If you wanted to smoke a joint, it would be a good time.
Yeah, well, anytime. Whatever
any
it is.
Any victimless crime.
Did you guys hear about the decision in North Carolina where apparently districts were being gerrymandered and the Supreme Court said they couldn't do that?
Nope, I didn't hear anything about that.
Apparently, the state had drawn out the maps for congressional districts in a way that would disadvantage black voters and give rural voters more power, apparently.
Okay.
I've heard about this kind of thing before, and I wanted to know you guys' thoughts on it.
I'm against gerrymandering.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is one gerry... the difficult... You can't look at a district and know whether or not...
Some you can Google it. Google image it right now.
Well, but there are some you look at and suddenly you're...
Know whether or not what? You didn't...
whether or not it has been gerrymandered, whether or not it's a bad thing. Sometimes you can take, say, two disadvantaged neighborhoods, draw them together or whatever, and create one district that then actually gives representation to those people as a percentage of the population in a given state. However, you can, take those two sections that you stuck together in a weird way, make them part of two other districts, and then those people don't get the representation as a percentage of the population of that state. So it's very difficult to know what a gerrymander is and what it isn't. And the best suggestion I've ever heard for this is essentially a nonpartisan panel that draws these things up.
So why was this one ruled against? Simply because race was involved?
That appears to be what it is. That's what most people are saying.
So it's okay to gerrymander a district for Democrats and Republicans, but as long as you're not breaking it down based on race?
I'm not exactly sure on the legal ramifications of it, but to me, when you look at some of these maps, you can tell that in North Carolina, especially the more populated areas like Charlotte and Raleigh, you know, they all get one giant district, which also consumes the areas outside of it, the suburban areas. Where all over the state in the empty areas, there's just tons of districts out there, even though the population doesn't make up for it.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to say that I did see something, Mark, that I think would be better, which would be software-based districting. And there was
soon the computers will rule the world. Yeah.
There was a proposal. I mean, obviously, there's going to be rules within the software that certainly someone could manipulate. But you're not going to have something like what, you know, Melanie just showed me happen with software districting. They can, you know, put in certain parameters into the software. And I forget that there was a pitch that was being made to the New Hampshire Elections Commission. I believe they rejected this idea. So, you know, having fairly drawn districts was not something the elections division wanted, apparently.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you may not always have the time to listen to an episode of Free Talk Live. So, you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month to patreon.com/crblake86. That's patreon.com/crblake86. You can also donate with Bitcoin or Ether. See the show notes for further details.
Usually when gerrymandering happens, it has to do with political parties, not race. And so in this case, it might have been they might have broken down a racial area expecting that the people in that area are going to be more likely members of, let's say, the Democrats.
It's a safe bet that blacks are going to more likely to vote Democrat, right? And probably in North Carolina, it's a safe bet that whites are more likely to vote Republican. Just a guess.
What do you think, Stefan?
I took a look at the map they tried to draw up, and it took a smaller area out of the 12th district. I sent a photo in Skype. That was the current design. They were going to redraw it so a part of District 12 on the left was going to be a tiny little squiggle line. And that would have been the only representation that people in Charlotte would have gotten, for example.
Okay.
And if you take a look at that map, you'll notice that urban and rural areas don't necessarily have voting together, it looks like. It seems like the urban areas are kind of put out from the rural areas, and I feel like maybe that might give the more rural areas an advantage because they have more representatives they can choose from.
When you say the urban areas are put out, what does that mean?
You'll notice that the
Keep in mind our listeners are not looking at this map. So
okay, so if they'd like to, they can probably Google it. But, you know, around Raleigh and Charlotte, for example, they're
this
closed
is North Carolina?
Off. Yes.
Okay.
They're closed off from the rest of the, you know, outer areas of the state, and it seems to me that might be to keep the urban vote out.
Well, I mean, they have to do it by population, right?
So, I assume so.
So that's why the
they don't.
No?
Tennessee at one point divided the state into three equal thirds of landmass,
mm-hmm.
and the Supreme Court said that was okay because Tennessee's argument was that it was easier. That was literally okay. Tennessee's argument, but it's easier, right. And the Supreme Court was like, okay.
No, easier is a way to decide.
Maine and Nebraska, for example. When I look at those two states, it seems like their districts are drawn fair. You know, the Portland area in Maine on the bottom is its own little district. But up above in the outer areas, it gets its own. Whereas in Nebraska, for example, when you get down to Omaha and such like that, they get their own district as well.
Melanie, you wanted to tell us about a police officer who was convicted for rape and had that overturned.
Right, so he was convicted of raping one of the inmates. He was a cop in Belknap.
Wow, raping an inmate.
County.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. So this happened as he was...
Is this a corrections officer or a police officer?
It says he's a deputy sheriff.
Okay.
So it's probably not a prison inmate, but a county jail inmate.
Okay, right.
So... And I guess there was someone else driving at the time because this happened while she was being transported and he was the one in charge of her, I guess. Mm. So the conviction got overturned today because the state Supreme Court found that there is not sufficient evidence that he was a correctional officer.
And that has what to do with whether or not he raped this lady?
Because New Hampshire, like in a lot of other states, basically has a law that says if you're a cop, you're not allowed to bang the inmates.
Can, you know, an inmate consent to sex with an officer? And
I think that they can, but my presumption would be that any particular instance was not consensual. I would kind of just reverse the presumption in that case, and I would need a lot to overcome it, because for you to say, yeah, I was totally holding this person here by gunpoint, I totally was keeping them here against their will, but the sex part was consensual. Those don't go together real well.
So I spent 8.5 years in prison and
in Florida.
And I can say that, you know, that there were certainly some instances where inmates had sex with staff and staff had sex with inmates. I would say that under one.
Did you see that happen or is it just.
Oh, yeah. I got to see the sex happen.
Or rumor.
I talked to people that you know, were involved. People got fired. Yes,
wow. Okay.
It happened. Absolutely happened. I had a roommate who was moved from one prison to another because of it. His claim was that he was knocking on her back door while she was ringing the doorbell.
Headline from CBS Sports, Colin Kaepernick remains out of the NFL. And depending on who you ask, it's because one of two reasons. He doesn't resemble the quarterback who had success under Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, or his social activism is a distraction and isn't worth the trouble to the
right.
to the teams.
The NFL is not, their product is not football. They're heavily subsidized. You can look up who pays for most of the stadiums. Their product is not football. Their product is nationalism. So it's really not surprising at all that someone who is protesting the United States gets fired from an organization, a quasi-governmental organization,
yeah, they have
whose
the
sole product is nationalism.
Right, I mean, they have the damn Air Force fly over their stadiums.
Sometimes it's the Navy.
Well, they get paid for all these, you know, whatever military branch does marches and has flags the size of football fields and whatever else they do. I mean, they're not about football. That's how they get people to show up. They're about state worship.
While he does that, keeping busy with various social causes, including donating about 50 custom suits to 100 Suits for 100 Men, a nonprofit organization that helps parolees on job interviews. And the good deed didn't go unnoticed. Kevin Livingston, president of 100 Suits for 100 Men, has organized a stand-up outside of the NFL New York City headquarters as a show of solidarity with Kaepernick. He told ESPN's Michael Rothstein Monday, quote, "He stood up for us. It's only right that he took our issues in our communities and brought it to a national level and sacrificed salary and being ostracized by the NFL. It was only right that we stand up for him. I started this literally when he came to my office. I was moved. I work with parolees. People usually just want to ostracize this particular population. Me working with him on the front lines and him coming to my office, this is not the first time I have worked with him, so I thought it was only right that I stand up for him." This will take place May 24th, a couple days from now at 5 p.m., not just in Manhattan, but around the country. Ernest Justin Blanchett, he's a former Belknap County Sheriff's deputy, was put in prison for rape, but then that rape charge was just overturned by the New Hampshire Supreme Court, apparently. And that was a story that you brought in tonight, Melanie, to discuss. But what we didn't have was the original allegations. We, you know, all we knew was there was an alleged rape that happened in the back of a police van. And that's kind of what we were going off of when we were discussing this story. But here's a little bit more information. This is from a story back when the trial was happening. So this is April of 2016. From the Concord Monitor, Ernest Justin Blanchett, former sheriff's deputy, let a female inmate smoke cigarettes and use his cell phone during transports to and from prison, quote, "seemingly in exchange for sexual activity," unquote, according to court documents filed in advance of his trial this week.
Yeah, that doesn't make it better to me.
What do you mean?
So the fact that this was in exchange for not being forcibly stopped from using a cell phone and cigarettes, which is the actuality of the situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's in for. I didn't really this happens today. I didn't bother looking.
He was definitely
yet.
Using his authority over her in
right.
this case, right? I wasn't trying to say that to make him look better.
I wish we had another term for when somebody is not able to give consent, because I can understand that there are circumstances where people are unable to give consent. And
you mean like where they're
rape.
Mentally unable to?
Right. So maybe somebody's, you know, mentally not capable of doing it, or they're under the age of being able to do it, or they're an inmate and the person's, you know, whatever, an officer, or they're a student and the person's a professor, whatever it might
be. Well, it's not student and professor. It's underage students or minor student, necessarily underage, so under 18, but not necessarily under legal age.
At my
age,
college, every professor would be fired that had sex with a student.
Oh, yeah, right. You would totally be fired, but they would not have been prosecuted for rape,
I just want a new term. Like, I think that, you know, like, rape is, consented to sex in the sense that it's very obvious. Others, they aren't able to give consent. I think it should be a different term. That's all I'm saying. And they use the term rape in this
article. I wouldn't slice it that close. And I do think that it's a word that gets overused where it doesn't really apply. And maybe something else does. But for, you know, holding down a grown woman versus going and taking a six-year-old, those aren't different.
New Mexico has been having record-breaking early and voting turnout ever since I've been here for 14 years.
What are they voting on now?
What did you say?
Are they voting on something right now?
No, but I worked on the Obama election and the one before that, and I've always worked on making public service announcements on the radio for the big elections, governor, presidential, those elections. And we actually broke a record. We never had that much of a high voter turnout. But I only made like 50 public service announcements on the local station. So every chance they would give me, I would give the voting information, the locations, what the county clerk should have been doing, and I've been doing it for them.
So you feel like you should be the county clerk. You should get the job.
Well, the thing about it is that they don't do the job.
Would you say Barack Obama was the best president historically the United States has ever had, or that there were superior presidents prior to Barack Obama?
Well, I do not know whether he's superior or inferior. I don't really know, but I think he was a pretty good president.
Okay, because one of the things that I kind of wondered is many people say George Washington was a great president, right?
I guess so.
He was elected with 2% of the electorate voting. Hmm. 2% of the population voting. There was no president that was elected prior to 1926 or 28, something like that, with more than 25% of the U.S. population voting. And, you know, that just kind of means that somehow we can, I guess, I mean, there's all these presidents in there. Many people call them great presidents, Lincoln and, I don't know, Wilson and, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and all these people they call great presidents. And they were all elected with this pretty small margin, this pretty small percentage of the population voting. Do we really need a large percentage of the population voting? Because I kind of feel like this whole let's get the vote out thing, let's get a whole bunch of people to vote, really just brings in a bunch of uninformed people to vote.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.